tell you one thing in the times that I've been here that I appreciate so much about your pastor is he's very adamant about the preeminence being on the Spirit. So many churches have departed from that because so many shepherds have departed from that. And, I'm just grateful that there's a church in Chelsea that is very concerned with having a move of the Holy Ghost. That's where our help comes from. Amen. The Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. He helps our infirmities. Romans tells us. And when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit knows. And He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So it's very important that the Spirit of God is moving among us. Amen. I am not singing. So if you're waiting on me, just have a good one. I hate my wife can't be here tonight. She had a prior obligation at the House of Prayer Church. So she sends her regards and wishes she could be here. And I also, Reed had texted me, and I told him I would make mention of this. Their little guy, Brent, has broke out with some type of severe rash. They don't know what it is, but it's all over his body. They said he's just in excruciating pain to the touch. So they just asked that the church here would remember him in prayer. Could we take just a second to lift little Brent up in prayer and ask the Lord to touch him? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We're grateful for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we believe in healing. As much as we believe in salvation because it was paid for in the atonement of Jesus Christ, we believe in healing because it also was paid for in the atonement. Lord, we're asking you tonight to touch Brent, to heal his little body. You created that body. You breathed into it the breath of life. You know exactly what is causing this reaction. Lord, we pray tonight that you would just speak the word. We believe that you speak the word and he can be healed as you did many times in the New Testament, and we have seen it in our life, the healing power of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch him. We're believing in a good report because we know that prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have just enjoyed ourselves being with you, being revived, watching you get revived, be revived. It's been wonderful seeing these young people press in. There's enough out there to discourage you so bad if you let it. You keep up with social media and all that stuff, man, there's just some terrible things going on out there. And if that's all you paid attention to, I read where one man said, if you keep up with the news long enough, you lose touch with reality. We follow the news and think that that's keeping us within the realm of reality, when really it's just sucking it right out of us, because it would lead us to believe that all the young people in the world are just terrible, heathenistic rebels. But not these. Not every young person is defiling themselves with the king's meat. There is still a generation that says, as for me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be like Daniel, and in the midst of Babylon, I'm going to turn my eyes towards Jerusalem, our heavenly home, and pray. Amen. I enjoyed the Sunday school class today. I told Brother Jason, in my years of being at Bible school, and different, I guess I've preached, I don't know, I added it up one day, and it's like 42 of the 50 states. I've sat in some pretty rough Sunday school classes in this country. I'll just be honest with you. Just where a guy opened the Matthew Henry's commentary and read it word for word. And man, if you're not very good with words, Matthew Henry will put your mind in a pretzel anyway. And I'm just sitting there like, Jesus, even so, Lord, come quickly. All right, you probably never said that before, but he did a tremendous job teaching about the coming of the Lord. And I remember growing up as a boy. What's that you said the other day? You get it earlier so you can go longer. Is that what's happening tonight? I'm just kidding. But I remember as a boy growing up, man, they preached about the return of the Lord all the time. All the time. And preaching about the coming of the Lord, it creates an expectancy. In Matthew chapter 24, Brother Jason, where you were looking this morning, there was that wicked servant that said, "My Lord hath delayed his coming." And so he quit preparing. And then when the master came, you know what happened is he cut him asunder. So we don't need to be like that wicked servant and say just because it hasn't happened yet means it's not going to happen. Jesus is coming soon. While you were teaching that this morning, I pulled out my calculator. And listen to this. They've been saying that Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, ever since I was born. So I know we kind of guesstimate about. But just taking this into account, if that's the case, okay, in the year 2000 or so, you know, when I was a child, they were saying 2,000 years. So if we take that we're living in 2021, and just do some math off that it's been 2,021 years since Jesus was here. That's 24,252 months since Christ walked the earth. That's 105,092 weeks since Christ has been on the earth. That's 737,665 days since Jesus has been here. 17,703,960 hours since Christ walked in the flesh. 1,062,237,600 minutes. 637,342,560,000 seconds since Christ was on the earth. But I still believe He's coming. Hallelujah. I do. I still believe He is coming. If the Lord tarries His coming and I go the way of the grave, I'm going to die believing in the rapture of the church. Praise the Lord. I am. And I tell you why. Because if I die, Brother Pepper, I'm going to be waiting for that resurrection when my body comes up out of the ground and it is glorified in heaven. Praise the Lord. If you have a hard time or you're questioning the return of the Lord, just open up the book. Everything about it points to the fact that Jesus is coming again. Amen. All right, let me get into the Word of God to preach to you here. And I will move through this as quickly as I can. Try to get maybe Sister Lindsay to do some good singing up here at the end. But go with me to the book of, let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And then I'm going to backtrack to the very beginning. I told you I appreciate how your pastor put so much preeminence on the Spirit. I've been raised in Pentecost all my life, but I was telling them today at lunch, Brother Bob Goodwin really made me passionate about Pentecost. Sitting under his teaching there at Free Gospel Bible Institute my senior year, and I love it. I do not want to lose my Pentecostal identity. I don't. They call us holy rollers. Well, let's be that. Dancers and shouters, let's be that. The devil wants to rob us. You know, I know I got to hurry up here tonight. But you know, even in our Pentecostal churches, there is an attack of people that are sitting in our pews and departing, saying that there is no such thing as speaking in tongues. Or when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll speak in tongues. I know there was a time at the big Cleveland, Tennessee Church of God where they brought to the floor of the General Assembly to say that an individual was filled with the Holy Ghost, not based on whether or not they spoke in tongues, but just simply based on the fruit of the Spirit. Now listen, I believe if you do have the Holy Ghost, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. But I will not, as far as my family is concerned, let any ideology or doctrine come in that takes away from us that you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Praise the Lord. The devil wants to rob us of our Pentecostal identity. He wants to rob us of the moving of the Holy Ghost. That is what has made the Pentecostal church exactly what it is the moving of the Holy Ghost. So I appreciate the men that God has put in my life to create a passion within me for Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I just trust that the Lord will help us here tonight. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. How many of you have ever seen the letter kill somebody? Yeah, I have. Drove them right out of the church. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. Now I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You know, back in the Old Testament when the Holy Ghost wasn't moving. Or was it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, I'm going to stop there at that comma. You know, we as Pentecostal people, we trace our lineage back. I don't trace my lineage. You know what? The Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I'm going to want to have you standing up the whole time. But feel free to get back up at any point in time in the message. I don't trace my lineage of Pentecost back to Azusa Street. I don't. Thank God for it. I've read books about it and I've preached about it. I don't trace my lineage back to it. I trace my lineage of Pentecost back to Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. But way before that, the Spirit of God was moving. Amen. The Spirit of God has always moved. He has moved throughout the pages of the Old Testament, working. But then we see this mighty outpouring in Acts chapter 2. But there's something that I want to point out and draw to your attention here tonight. Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians that the letter kills. Amen. The law, the letter, it can kill, but the Spirit of God giveth life to a man. The Spirit of God is a creator. All right? It gives life and it breeds revival and there's movement. There's constant flow in the Spirit of God. We cannot say that we are born of the Spirit, or we cannot say we are filled or full of the Holy Ghost if we are not moving. All right, if there's not a movement going on, if there's, you know, there has to be something happening within the church, within the body of believers. If we proclaim that we are Spirit-filled, then we must be moving in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I hope I can make sense to you here tonight. Amen. But in the very beginning of all things, God is going to create. All right, there is nothing. And then all of a sudden there is something. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we serve a God that can create something out of nothing? Amen. I know that there's, you know, doctrines out there, and I don't know how you feel about some of that stuff, about the pre-Adamic race and, you know, pre-Adamites and Lucifer's flood and, you know, those. The gap theorists say that this is just God recreating again the world that was destroyed by Lucifer's flood. I don't know about all that stuff. All I know is that here God intends to create. And when God intends to create, He sends His Spirit to move. Hallelujah. Oh, help us tonight, Lord. Amen. I want to recite something to you written by an individual. He said, I believe, brethren, that whenever the church of God declines, one of the most effectual ways of reviving her is to preach much truth concerning the Holy Ghost. After all, the Spirit of God is the very breath of the church. Where the Spirit of God is, there is power. If the spirit be withdrawn, then the vitality of the godliness begins to decline, and we are backsliding. Let us turn to the Spirit of God, crying, "Quicken thou me in thy way." If we sorrowfully perceive that any church is growing lukewarm, be it our prayer that the Holy Spirit may work graciously for its revival. Let us return to the Lord. Let us seek again to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and unto fire. And we shall yet again behold the wonderful works of the Lord. He sets before us an open door, and if we enter it not, we ourselves are to be blamed. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes here tonight on life after the Spirit moves. Amen. Life after the Spirit moves. God, in the very beginning of all things, in the book of Genesis, is going to create. He's going to give life. The flowers are going to appear for the first time. And He's going to situate the firmament. And He's going to fling stars into space and put planets in their appropriate position. And fish are going to swim in water where there was no fish before. And birds are going to fly. And turtles and rabbits are going to race. Or at least some old wives tell would tell us that they would. And all of these things are going to transpire. And man is going to take form. And he's going to walk on the earth. And he's going to be in charge over all of the animals. Kingdom, but none of these things are going to happen until the Spirit of God Almighty moves upon nothing, hallelujah, and creates out of it something. I wonder if in this service tonight, if we still have some individuals that have come to this revival service, these services, but you're still looking at nothingness in your own life. You're still looking at emptiness or void there. And if that is the case for you, I want you to understand tonight, you need the Spirit of God to move upon you. Say, Brother Michael, I got blessed of the Lord on Thursday night. Well, glory be to Jesus. But you need the Spirit to move on you again on Sunday night. We never outgrow our need for the Holy Ghost to move upon us. Hallelujah. I said we never outgrow it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been around Pentecost. We are never more mature than needing a move of the Holy Ghost. We have never mastered it. Oh, Lord, help us in a lot of our churches today. We feel as though we have mastered it. And we somehow have reined in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Oh, but if there is to be life among us, if souls are to get saved, there must be a wellspring of water within the church. If people are going to come in these doors and leave different than when they came in, there must be a movement here. There must be something that is charging the congregation. And I'm telling you tonight, church, what it is the Spirit of God Almighty moving among us. Hallelujah. I don't know. I guess I was talking to Brother Paretic one time. Lord, help me tonight. Amen. This preaching before singing might be throwing for me just as much, throwing me just as much in a whirlwind as it is some of you. Amen. I can tell by the look on some of your faces you're weirded out by it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was talking to Brother Paretic one night, and I said, "Brother, I feel like I preach so much about the Holy Ghost or the work of the Spirit." And I said, "Man, I think maybe I need to try to go a different route maybe and preach something different." And he told me, he said, "Brother Michael,
He said, if you start preaching anything other than Pentecost and the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, you're not going to have results in your preaching. Amen. And I know that doesn't mean that we're always going to take a text out of John chapter 14 or John 15 about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know that doesn't mean that we're always going to preach from Acts chapter 2. But what I have realized is that in our preaching and in our singing and in our testifying and in our teaching, in some way, shape, or form, it ought to be centered around the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. Because if we're ever to know revival, if we're ever to overcome sin, we must do so through the work of the Spirit. What are our souls without His grace? Oh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Amen. We are as dead as the branch in which the sap circulates not. Think about that. Amen. What is our church without Him? We are as parched. Amen. As embarrassed as the fields. Oh, yes. That is giving forth no harvest. Oh, yeah. Amen. You drive past the field in its time of harvest, and there is no harvest there. Amen. And you look at it and you scratch your head and you say, well, we know what it's supposed to be doing, but we can look at what it is not doing. And I wonder how many times folks darken the door of our churches and they leave saying, we know what they're supposed to be doing. We know it's supposed to happen there. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, church, we need the life of the Spirit to infuse us and empower us. Oh yes, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want there to be life. I want there to be Spirit. I want there to be movement in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, Brother Michael, why are you preaching a message like this when we've already experienced so much of the outpouring of His Spirit? Hallelujah. I'm not trying to say that we haven't. Oh yes, but there will come a day, if we are not careful, there will be dead things in our life. And the only way for it to be revived, and the only way for God to create new, is for the Spirit of God to move upon us. Amen. If you think you can do it without the Spirit of God working in your life, I'm telling you tonight, you can try it, but you will fail. Hallelujah. You need the Spirit to move upon you. Amen. Without Him, the world is not converted. Oh yes, we talk about the moving of the Holy Ghost and making us shout and run and dance, and I love that. But the Spirit of God was sent to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Amen. Before the Holy Ghost ever moves on you to shout, He's going to move on you with conviction. He's going to deal with your heart about sin. Amen. You must allow the Spirit to convict you before you let the Spirit charge you. Yeah. I remember reading an article one time. Amen. Oh, I hope I can help you here tonight. Are you bored yet? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember reading an article one time about a local farmer in some county somewhere in the U.S. that I can't pronounce. Amen. And he said, man, we're in dire need of rain here. He said, we're doing okay but with the harvest. He said, but the fields are existing off of the rain that we had. He said, but if we don't have some rain now, we will not harvest in the weeks to come. And he said, he was awakened early one morning by the sound of thunder. and some excitement crept up within him, Pastor, because most of the time thunder equals rain. He said he rose with excitement and went out on the front porch only to find that it was only thunder, but there was no rain. Oh, Lord, help us. We have a lot of thunder in our Pentecostal churches. Amen. We got the drums going, and we've got the bass going. We've got the piano cranked up. Hallelujah. We know what to say, when to say it, and how to make everybody shout and run around the church. But I want to ask you here tonight, at this church in Chelsea, Oklahoma, amen, you got any rain to go with that thunder? I said, do you got any rain to go with that thunder? Oh, my prayer tonight is that the Spirit of God, amen, Brother Michael, I got mine on Thursday night. Yeah, well, I did too. But I want it again on Sunday night. I need another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God to give me life. Hallelujah. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us here tonight. Amen. When Leopold, the commentator, would write about Genesis 1 here, he would describe the Spirit of God as hovering. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't want to lose you here tonight. He would describe the Spirit of God as hovering. Amen. As a eagle, a mother eagle would over her brood. That mama is always on the lookout. Amen. Always on guard. Ready to protect her young. Oh, yes. And Leopold would describe the Spirit of God, amen, moving or hovering over the nothingness and the void. Hallelujah. I want you to understand something about the Holy Ghost. He is the paraclete. He is the one sent to help. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I must go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter unto you. We used to sing an old song when I was a boy that said, the comforter has come. The comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. So spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Hallelujah. And when He comes, I want you to know something tonight. We are not a bunch of orphans. Amen. He is the administrator of the church. Amen. Yes, Brother Pepper is your pastor, but the Holy Ghost ought to be the administrator of the church. It ought to be about His way. It ought to be about His will. It ought to be about His move. For in the move of the Spirit is life. Hallelujah. Signifies a vibrant moving. Hallelujah. A protective hovering. Yeah. Man, it's the protective work, the preparatory work of the Holy Ghost. In this meeting, have you not felt Him hover over us? Amen. Have you not almost, Brother Pepper, felt the flutter of the wings of the dove as He has just hovered over us these last few nights? Amen. Watching these young people gather up here around this altar, Sister Pepper, you could almost see, amen, the Holy Ghost as He hovered over them. Amen. Because there's a world out there that wants to rob them of life. It wants to rip the life out of each and every one of you. And some of you have probably experienced some things in your short years of living that no young person or any grown person for that fact ought to have to live through. I told you about my little cousin Lucas. Some of the things he's had to live through, nobody on the face of the earth should have to deal with. But Sister Pepper, I have watched as the Holy Ghost would hover over him and gather him into himself. And I'm watching life spring up in a boy that came to us with no respect for adults. Amen. A boy that came to us living on the streets, living in public restrooms at parks, living in the back of an automobile. I have watched Brother Pepper as the Spirit moved on him. And now he's respectful. He'll work. He does his school. Amen. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. Yeah. Amen. You get enough of God in you, you'll even treat people with respect. Amen. I'm telling you, the work of the Spirit, it gives life. It's more than just a shout. It's more than just a dance. It's more than a run. It is life.
I don't know, sister, you might should say, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, Isaiah in his 32nd chapter. You got that? How quick can you get to that? Isaiah chapter 32. Let's look at verse 14. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Oh, Jesus, help us. I do. I'd love to go out with a bang. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the Holy Ghost to help us. Oh, yeah. There could still just be somebody in this house that haven't gotten what you needed yet from the Lord in this meeting. You've just kind of watched from a distance, and you have felt everything out. Amen. Oh, come on now. You felt us out long enough. It's time you feel after the Spirit. Amen. Because I can promise you, it don't take long of feeling after the Spirit that He's going to latch a hold of you. Amen. I got a little boy, Sister Pepper, seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he's a quiet young man. Any of y'all that know Owen know he's backwards. He's shy. And he saw Titus running around here the other night. And he pulled on me. He said, Daddy, he said, I want the Holy Ghost. But I just don't know that I can ever do what Titus is doing. Oh, and I said to him, Bub, I said, you let the Holy Ghost move on you one time. You don't never know what you will do. Oh, I wonder if there's somebody in this house tonight. And you said, I've seen them run, and I've seen them dance, and I've seen them shout. I can tell they got life in them, but it hadn't happened to me yet. Well, if you'd stop feeling after man and start feeling after the Spirit, oh, hallelujah. I said, if you'd stop feeling after man and start feeling after the Spirit, seek after the Holy Ghost. I cannot give you life, but He can. I cannot give you a purpose, but He can. Oh, yes. Feel after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Now Isaiah is prophesying of the terrible things that will continue to happen to the nation of Israel if they continue in their journey away from God. Our nation's in bad shape. Oh, I hope I can help you. Our nation's in bad shape. But there's some things I try to keep in mind. You know, America, I still believe it's the greatest country in the world. And I try to hold on to some things like, God, we've always gone to the aid of other countries. Sometimes maybe when we shouldn't, but we did. We've supported America. And I try to think of all the good that America has done. And I'm thinking and hoping and praying, Brother Pepper, that surely God will be merciful
to us. But these are the predictions of a nation that continues its journey away from God. Amen. And can I rock your world here real quick? Man, we have a church world that's moving away from God. Yeah. You hear me? We have a church world that's moving away from God. You come here as you are and leave as you are. Amen. You don't have to change. You can keep on going to the clubs. You can keep on smoking cigarettes. You can keep on drinking alcohol. You can keep on doing drugs. As long as you come to this building, you'll be okay. Oh, listen to me. It ain't never been about being in the building, but it's always been about being in the body. And until you come into the body, that don't matter to me or to this pastor. Yes, be in the building, please. Don't forsake the building, but you need to be in the body. Being in the building won't get you into heaven. You've got to be in the body. And there's a secular church world out there that's pushing the moving of the Spirit away. And if you push the moving of the Spirit away, you push conviction away. And the inevitable results of a church without the Holy Ghost, amen, is compromise. It is liberalism. It is worldliness. Amen. We must have life. God says, I'm going to create, but I'm going to create through the moving of my Spirit. So we go from verse 14, and then in verse 15, the prophet says, these things are going to happen until. Yeah. That's a big word there. I wish I could preach right now. Amen. Until the Spirit be poured out upon who? Us. Yeah. Oh, come on, Brother Michael. He was talking about the nation of Israel. Oh, come on now. You're not that naive. Scripture is applicable to you and I as much as it is to the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. And the prophet says, hey, amen, this is what's going to happen until. Oh, you know what the church needs? The church needs this until. Hallelujah. We need this word. Amen. To become relevant in our church generation today. Yes. Some of our churches, politics will continue until, amen, men stop worrying about themselves. I remember praying one night, and I wrote these words down. I know I'm a nobody, but I wrote the words down. The demise of any movement is when that movement becomes more concerned about the popularity of its men rather than the power of its message. I don't care who it is. I don't care what denomination it is. When we start worrying about ourselves more than we're worrying about the Holy Ghost having a move, amen, we're on our way out. Ichabod above the house. But I'm telling you here tonight, if we could have the Spirit of God be poured out upon us, upon the elders, upon the middle aged, upon the young people, we need the Holy Ghost to move on all of us. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us. From where? From where? Sometimes we think, man, if I can get in with Brother Pepper, I'm an evangelist, I guess. I don't preach as a lot as some. But I try to have a burden and help people wherever we go. Amen. But man, if I could get in with Brother Pepper, we might could make something happen. We'll flip Chelsea up on his head. Man, we'll do something. We'll pack this place out. And Brother Pepper, I spend all my time looking for revival to come from right here. We want these horizontal moves. One pastor, give me just a minute, all right? And one pastor says to the other,
you come preach for me, and I'll preach for you, and we'll just keep it right here in this network. And amen. And we're looking for, amen, this horizontal move. Oh, yeah. Amen. Horizontal move. Oh, church, we don't need no horizontal moves. We've had enough of those, and it's brought the church in some ways to the condition it's in right now. Amen. Money is not going to bring us revival. Popularity is not going to bring us revival. Hallelujah. Status is not going to bring us revival. Politics is not going to bring us revival. Amen. We got to get away from this horizontal anticipation and get back to this vertical anticipation. Amen. Where it is no longer me looking at the man and saying, maybe somehow you can bring us a move. Or calling on Brother Jason and saying, maybe somehow you can come to our church and give us a move. Or maybe Brother Lucas with his spunky self, he can come in and give us a move. No. Amen. Oh, but it's got to go back to vertical, where we say, Lord, only you. Amen. Lord, only you can give us revival. Lord, until your spirit be poured out upon us from on high. Not from my brother down the road. Not from my sister beside me. But you, Lord, it must come from heaven. The prophet would say, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. We need a move from on high. Do you believe that tonight? That we need a move from on high? Hallelujah. Oh yeah. So much has happened in my life. Oh, I feel like I'm boring some of you. I'm sorry. I think back about the different people that have impacted my life just by watching them yield themselves to the move of the Spirit. There's power in yielding. Yeah. When we're praying for somebody to receive the baptism, oftentimes we say, just yield to it. Yield to it. Yield yourself. Yield your members. Yield your body. And let Him have His way. Oh, yeah, because there's power in yielding. Oh, and I think back to different ones, Sister Pepper, in my life. Different ones that have made an impact. Not that they ever said anything, but I watched them yield themselves to the moving of the Spirit. And I watched Him impute unto them life. Hallelujah. And that's how Brother Bob Goodwin, at 91 years old, is still evangelizing. Oh, because the Spirit is giving him life. I probably won't live that long. If I do live that long, chances are I won't be able to do, I don't know, maybe, who knows. Oh, but how does he do what he does? How does Sister Claire Goodwin still do what she does? I've watched the Spirit move on. Amen. Used to be Sister Beam when I met her. Now Sister Goodwin, I've watched the Spirit move on her. Amen. I was facing a very big decision in my life, Brother Pepper. Amen. Very, very, I'll just go ahead and say it. Amen. My wife, if she was here, she'd be all right with it. I've told it before. Amen. Before I met my wife, I was engaged to another young lady where I grew up. Man, I don't know why I'm saying some of this stuff. I don't know. I need to preach to you here tonight, but I was. All right? Good Christian girl. Man, raised in church together. And I was going to marry her. Dated for 4 years. And boy, she, it was, the wedding was planned. Her dress was bought. I was fixing to graduate. I know this makes me sound like a terrible person. I know it. I know some of you ladies are already, you're judging me. I know you are. Amen. But I was praying about it. I'm being vulnerable with you right now, okay, young people? But I'd been praying about it, and Brother Pepper, I knew God was dealing with me that it wasn't right. I'm telling you, God will talk to you about your spouse. You better listen to the Lord if He talks to you about that. Hey, you see, man, I'm on rabbit trails here tonight. But we regulate the Spirit of God to only certain aspects of Christianity. But the Spirit of God wants to have a part in every aspect of our life. Hallelujah. Every aspect. And this is one area that I was pushing him away. And I'm sitting up there in the senior classroom at Export, Pennsylvania. And we're studying Christian counseling. And Sister Beam at the time is teaching. And she says, all of a sudden she says, folks, I just feel like we need to stand up and pray. In the middle of class. All right? And so we stand up to pray. And we start praying. And man, it's Bible school, okay? It's youth camp all the time. You blink and people start shouting. All right? So it wasn't long. Just a few seconds in, we got some people going over here and some folks going in the corner. And I'm standing there like, what in the world is going on? Okay, this is counseling class. And we're standing up to pray. And I'm watching her as she's walking back and forth, Brother Jason. Man, and she comes up to me just a few minutes later. And she looks at me. She didn't know nothing. She looked at me and she said, Brother Michael, you're fixing to make the biggest decision of your life. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you need to walk very carefully before Him. I leave from there and I go to Richlands Camp Meeting to preach there. And a gentleman by the name of Brent Markey, who's a dear friend of mine now that I had never met in my life. I hope I'm not going too slow for you here tonight. Service is over or concluding. Some are still praying the altar, and I'm walking down this aisle right here, Brother Pepper. And Brent walks up to me, grabs me by the hand, says, you Michael Tushman? I said, yes, sir. He said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, you need to go home and break it off with that young lady. And I'm standing there like, okay, God. But I'm looking at these people. And the only way that they know anything about me is because the Spirit is moving on them. And He's breathing life into them. Amen. And you know what God was doing? He was trying to prevent me from going into something that could have destroyed my life. And Brother Pepper, some things came out months later after the fact that would have likely ended that marriage and left me in a distraught state as a very young man. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, it's important that we let the Spirit of God. Oh, I wish I could preach this to you here tonight. I'm so far from my notes right now, it ain't even funny. Oh, but it's important that we let the Spirit of God move and talk and breathe. Oh, yes. He'll keep you from danger. Some of you may be facing decisions this week that if you don't have the Holy Ghost move on you, you might make the wrong decision. I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. There can be life, but it comes after the Spirit of God moves on you. Hallelujah. Man, I can remember Sister Granny Polly. Yeah. Jason, you said you like stories. Granny Polly had arthritis in her hands, in her feet, in her knees, everywhere. And I, at the Church of God there, I was attending. I'm trying to get somewhere to preach to you tonight. Boy, my pastor hated drums. We couldn't have them. It's an absolute no-no. Piano, organ, and a bass. To where you could barely hear it sitting by it, because he sure enough didn't want anybody out there hearing it. I'm talking that old stamped Baxter style music. Convention music, piano and organ, that was it. So I got a hankering to start playing a tambourine. And I got permission from the pastor. But I never got permission from Granny Polly. Boy, I'm telling you, she did not like that tambourine. And she let me know about it a few times. And I'm telling you, Brother Pepper, Granny Polly was a saint of God, full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking to you about life. Amen. Being lively because of the Spirit of God moving. Granny Polly may not have liked the tambourine, But when some wayfaring stranger would make their way to an altar, Granny Polly would move up and sit on the altar beside them. And she would move that walker off to the side. Hallelujah. In just a little while of praying for whoever it might have been, those arthritis, crippled hands, she would get to clapping them. Hallelujah. She would get to clapping them so quick. Oh, yeah. Do some Guinness World Record style hand clapping. Oh, yes. And she would sit there. And Brother Pepper, while she was clapping, those feet would get to doing this right here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you know what I learned from that? You know what was happening? The Spirit was giving life to those old dead bones. Amen. Them bones that were dead in them hands. Amen. Brother Michael, you trying to tell me the Spirit of God will move in your hands? Yes, I believe He can get in your hands. Amen. I believe He can get in your feet. Whatever you yield to Him, the Holy Ghost will move in. And I watch that old saint of God pray a lot of folks through to salvation. Pray a lot of folks through. She was right there when I went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying you ought to let the Holy Ghost move in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. To the Spirit of God be poured out. Come on, high. When your faith is apt to fail, it is for that end that the Holy Ghost was poured out. Listen, you cannot without God. And God will not without you. Oh, God, help us tonight. Oh, I wish I was a preacher. Amen. We must not sit still, no, and expect that the Spirit should do everything. Oh, yeah. When the Spirit goes before us, we must bestir ourselves and move with Him. We say, oh, yeah. We say, well, if the Spirit moves, then He'll move me. No, it don't always work like that. Yes, He can overwhelm you. Oh, but when the Spirit moves, He wants you to bestir yourself and move with Him. Hallelujah. The Spirit is always going to move. Come up here, buddy. Amen. You look like you're ready to move. Amen. I remember Brother Tim Hudson used to come preach our camp meeting there at Marietta. And when he was preaching those nights of those camp meetings, he'd get going in a big way. And I always sat right here on the front, right here on this end, not because I so wanted to be on the front row, but I had to be in good back of the armpit position by my dad for if I ever acted up. Amen. Some of you young people ain't ever been pinched and it shows. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'd sit right there on that front row. Oh, and Brother Hudson would come up to me and he'd say, Michael, while he was preaching, he'd say, I want you to run for me while I'm preaching. So I'd take off running. Oh, hallelujah. You know what Brother Hudson was doing? He was not moving at the moment, but he wanted me to move. Hallelujah. And sometimes we sit there, oh, and we say, well, somebody else has got to make me do it. But you know what I was? I was an obedient young man. So when the brother came to me and he said, Michael, I want you to run. You know what I did? I had enough confidence in him that I ran. I don't know where some of you are, but you need more confidence in the Holy Ghost than what you got right now. Amen. And if He tells you to move, you need to move. Whatever the Holy Ghost bid you to do, you need to do it. A lot of times this is our approach. This is you and me, depending on what mood I'm in. And the Holy Ghost passes by, and you watch me go, but you say, you know what, I'm just going to stay right here. We all are, brother. Different time. And He passes by, and we watch Him. The pastor, He's got life. He's got life. He's got church growth. You want to grow here? I bet the pastor wants to hear more amen than that. Come on, you want to grow here? Wouldn't you like to see all of these seats full? Do you believe it can happen? Do you believe it can happen? You know how it happens? When he passes by, we join in with him and we move with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Come on, church. He's passed by this week. Have you moved with him? Amen. Brother Michael, I ran around the church. I'm not asking you if you ran around the church. I'm asking if you moved with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Michael, I spoke in tongues. Oh, I didn't ask if you spoke in tongues. You can be around this long enough to learn how to speak in tongues. I'm asking if you moved. Oh, you're not picking up what I'm putting down. I'm asking if you moved with the Holy Ghost. Brother Michael, amen. I danced around the front of the church. I'm not asking if you danced around the front of the church. I'm asking if you moved with the Holy Ghost. Brother Michael, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I didn't ask if you were. Brother Michael, I'm a deacon. I'm a board member. I didn't ask if you were. I'm asking you tonight, have you moved? Have you moved with the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God has hovered over us. He's gathered us under His wings. Have you yielded to Him? Oh, hallelujah. And there's life in the Spirit. And God said, let there be. Hallelujah. God is saying in some of your lives, let there be. But you're saying, let there be without the move of the Spirit. Oh no. If there is going to be, there must be a move first. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I feel God in this house right now. You're saying, I want there to be light. And I want there to be life. And God says, if there is to be light, and if there is to be life, it comes by my Spirit. You cannot reject the Spirit and receive the blessings of the Lord. Oh, I wish. I don't wish. That makes it sound too magical. Long gone, way down the road in that far country of Claymore. I pray, Lord Pepper, that the Spirit gives life. Sister Pepper, what if by next Sunday the Spirit of God springs up a new soul in the chair right behind? Would that be all right? Oh, come on. We get so used to us four and no more. We run about 120, 130 at the house of prayer. We have about 190 chairs in the church. Come on. We can get used to the 20 of us. We can get used to the 130 of us. And we say, God, we're good here. Amen. We don't need no more. We don't know what they're going to look like. Oh, come on now. I'm trying to hurry up and preach this thing out to you tonight. I'm not trying to tarry too long at the meal. No, I'm not. Amen. Oh, we don't know what kind of baggage they're going to bring in if we go out and evangelize. Amen. Look at where they live. Look at how they carry themselves. Look at how they act. Oh, that's exactly who the Spirit of God is going after. He came after the lost and the least. Oh, yeah. Jesus sat down
with publicans and sinners, blowing the religious mind of every Pharisee that surrounded him. Jesus wanted everybody to know, I'm coming after the ones that nobody else wants. And if this church is going to grow, you got to follow the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not a prophet. I don't try to be one. But I feel the Holy Ghost right now to tell this church, if you are going to grow, you got to go where the Spirit is going. Brother Pepper, I hope I'm not out of line, but wherever the Spirit moves, amen. I said wherever the Spirit moves, if he goes into the slums, you got to follow him there. Wherever he goes, follow the Spirit. Spirit of God, Brother Pepper has walked to some places, and I sat back and I thought, my God, it's dead there. You know, when Jesus went into the wilderness, God, that's all I'm talking about. And I really feel like I'm trying to talk to this church here. Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, the Bible said that the Spirit led him. Our idea of the Spirit is mountain, oceanfront property, house on Grand Lake. Can't afford those anyway. Yeah. That's our idea. Hallelujah. And I got to hurry up and preach. I got to stop at some point. Amen. Hallelujah. It's what you get. It's what you get for shutting me up the last couple of nights. Amen. No, I've loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, but that's our idea of the move of the Holy Ghost, church. Oh, yeah. I really do feel an assurance. I'm supposed to be preaching to this body tonight, to this church. Our idea of the Holy Ghost and his move is oceanfront property in ease and Zion. Oh, no. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, what'll give you a different outlook on the wilderness is if you go into it led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said that'll give you a different outlook on the wilderness. If you go into it led of the Spirit, you'll walk into some neighborhoods in Chelsea, Oklahoma, and you'll see mansions rather than you will shacks, because you'll look at it as opportunity. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. My God, I feel him. I said you'll look at it as an opportunity and not a burden and not a drud, because the Holy Ghost will walk into a dead place to give it life. He wants to use this church. You ever have preconceived ideas when you preach a message and you think, man, I might preach it this way? I did not anticipate coming to preach this like this tonight. Oh, I feel so persuaded of the Holy Ghost that this church, I'm not saying this to be popular among you. Hallelujah. Lord knows my heart. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not saying this so you'll ask me to preach another revival. Amen. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart right now. Hallelujah. And if there is to be life in this church, you've got to let the Spirit move in every aspect of your life that he wants to. You cannot expect the Spirit to move in the church if you're not letting him move in your life. If he's not moving in your life, then he's not moving in your family. And if he's not moving in your family, he cannot move in the church. We must start allowing the Spirit to work in our homes before he can work in our church. Letter killeth.
angel would look out across the valley. And he would say, "Can these bones live?" They live? Dead. Dry. Bone separate from bone. No sinew. No flesh. Dead. Lord, thou knowest. I've looked at some people, Brother Lucas, and I thought to myself, there's no way. Hell ever lived. God said, "I know better." Chelsea, at one point, I lived for 5 years. I did. When I first moved here in 2009, we lived in Chelsea on 360 Road, Parks Lane. 5 years, that old home place, and I. Based on the history that I've looked at, Chelsea at one point was a pretty booming place. Brother Parks, a.k.a. Papa, has told me that there was at one point like 4 or 5 car dealerships here. It was a thriving place. I guess back in the day they hit oil here. There was money in Chelsea. Now people come and it's a one-stoplight town. Buildings are old and dilapidated. To an outsider, those of you that live here, man, this is glorious. We've got a subway. I guess if Subway can't make it, then you're in trouble. I don't know. It's a sandwich. Okay. Man, I hope I'm not boring. But to the passerby, they'll say, "My Lord, this place is dead." There's been churches in the town. People have adulterated the gospel of Jesus Christ. It makes it difficult for the true blue to make a difference in people's lives. And you could do one of two things. You can say, "We gave it a good effort. We've got us a new building and it's beautiful. God has blessed you here. We've got us a new building. We're good." But God is saying to this church, and I try to be very careful when I say that I feel God telling me something, Brother Pepper. I walk very carefully, but I really do feel the Holy Ghost impressing upon me tonight that others look and they say it is dead, but God says, "I know better." Can it live? Can it live? Brother Pepper, have you ever prayed over this little town and asked God, "God, is there any way?" Come on, be honest. Brother Jason, have you ever said, "Lord, is there really anything we can do?" In the old Dollar General in Chelsea, Oklahoma. Amen. And God is saying to you, "I know, I know, I know." Oh, what did the prophet say? Oh, yes. He would say, "Blow. Oh, wind, blow. Blow. Blow." I wonder if we got a church tonight that'll ask the wind of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, church. Could you do that tonight? Could you ask Him to blow? Could you ask Him to move? Oh, maybe you're ready for this revival to be over. But the Holy Ghost says, "I'm ready to break upon you a lasting revival. A revival of souls. A revival of restoration. A revival of fire. A revival of Pentecost." But the church must say, "Lord, thou knowest." Stand with me. I'm feeling in this house. There's Suppose we saw an army setting down before a granite fort, and they told us that they intended to batter it down. We might ask them how. They point to a cannonball, and we say, well, there's no power in that cannonball. It's heavy, but no more than half a hundred or perhaps a hundred weight. If all the men in the army hurled it against the fort, they would make no impression, because it's just a cannonball. They say, but look at it. Look at it closely. Look at the cannonball. And then look at the cannon. Well, it's just a cannon. It's a powerless cannon. A child may ride upon it. A bird may perch in its mouth. It is a machine and nothing more. But look at the powder. But it's powerless powder. There's no power in the powder. A child may spill it upon the ground. A bird may peck it from the earth. But if you get this powerless powder and this powerless cannon and this powerless cannonball together, and then you spark a flame at the end of the fuse, then sounds of thunder, flashes of lightning, and that once powerless machine becomes a powerful force because of one flame. Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon a few of them. No. It set upon Peter and the disciples only. No. It set upon each of them. You know what I'm asking God for tonight in this church? I'm asking God for a fire to set upon each of you. Hallelujah. That takes the powerless powder and the powerless cannonball and the powerless cannon and lights a spark behind it. I'm telling you, it is the church tonight. The church is a powerless machine unless we are ignited by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Can I read to you a closing prayer that a Puritan preacher prayed at the conclusion of his message? Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost in the world. Even tonight, a world that is darkened by sin and the powers of darkness, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That His power still avails and prevails over the powers of darkness. Thank you, Lord, that Your Holy Ghost bore witness of the truth to our hearts and drew us to Jesus Christ. He planted faith in our hearts towards Him, whereby our sins were forgiven. The Holy Ghost came in and is bringing to us that righteousness of Christ as He conforms us into the image of His Son. We thank you, Lord, that through our faith it is imputed as though it was already done and accomplished. We thank you, Lord, the powers of Satan have been broken. We have been set free from the power of sin, the power of sin and the darkness of Satan. He has been judged, and sin no longer reigns in our mortal bodies, but the Spirit of God reigns. Lord, fill us. This is how he would conclude his prayer. Lord, fill us with your Holy Ghost. Lord, draw us by your Spirit to the person of Jesus Christ and to the fullness that you desire for each of us as we walk in the Spirit, no longer fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Lord, we desire to be full until we overflow with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Pepper, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. There's life after the Spirit moves. There will be light. There will be stars. There will be lilies. Roses will bloom in the valleys. Grass will spring up in the crevices of a rock face. But only after the Spirit moves. Only the Creator. Only the Creator can make a blade of grass that you so easily break in your fingers somehow strong enough to spring up through a crack in concrete. And you're telling me that He can't bring life into you? Pastor, I hope I'm not missing it, but I feel the Holy Ghost. There's life for you after the Spirit moves. Some of the things you've been struggling with, you don't have to struggle with them anymore. Some of the sins, you don't have to cycle in them anymore. Because when the Spirit gives life, the void has to go away. The darkness has to go away. I've preached too long. Telling you, church, I ain't much. I don't have fancy words. I don't preach as much as some. But I'm telling you, I know what I feel in my spirit tonight. And this church has got opportunity. God didn't give you this to do nothing with. Pastor, I hope I'm not stepping over my bounds. I'm not trying to reprimand this church tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. But when He moves, you better move with Him. Brother Jason, Sister Sarah, Spirit moved for your family this morning. Did it not, Brother Pepper? Brother Pepper said there was something I wanted to do, but I stepped back and I waited. And the Spirit moved. Walk with Him. Spirit moved for you, buddy. Walk with Him. I have not felt, I guess, I don't know, I should do better, but I ain't felt this kind of assurance of the Holy Ghost in a long time. Young ladies, you can live above what 17 magazine might tell you you have to be popular in the world. And you got to move in the Spirit. Maybe there's a marriage here that's been in trouble. Nobody knows it. And the Spirit has moved over these last few nights. You join hands with your spouse and join hands with the Holy Ghost. Move with Him. He'll give you life. I don't really know right how to close this. I don't know. Pastor, would it be all right if I just asked the church as a whole to come forward and stand up here? I don't know. I know this is different. I know it's different.